You might have thought it would never happen, but Switchcast is endorsing a transport company. Whether you're moving a rare collectible, a high-end sports car, or your personal luxury vehicle, Shaughnessy Overland Express delivers with precision, privacy, and respect. This isn't just transport, it's white glove care from pickup to delivery. For over 14 years, they've earned the trust of collectors, enthusiasts, dealers, and owners by offering unmatched service and personalized attention. You'll work directly with their experienced in-house team, ensuring a smooth and private experience without middlemen or surprises. Every shipment is protected with up to $3 million in cargo insurance, offering peace of mind for even the most valuable and rare vehicles on the road. In addition to their enclosed fleet, they've also established a trusted auto transport brokerage service, giving you access to a nationwide network of vetted open and enclosed carriers. Whether you need transport on a route they don't currently operate or their carriers are at full capacity when your schedule demands, they'll still get it done without compromising the Shaughnessy standard of excellence. Same professionalism, same personal touch, expanded flexibility. We are proud at Switchcast to endorse Shaughnessy Overland Express as the official transporter of Switchcast. Visit soexinc.com and tell them Switchcast sent you. Welcome to Switchcast season six. I'm your host, Sean Connery, here with my co-host, Tyler Sanders. We're the automotive news and entertainment show that's not just for car people. Ethan Huffnagel is our executive assistant to the regional producer. If you love this show and you want more of it, check us out on Patreon and consider becoming one of our patrons for exclusive content, early content, and to be able to sit in with us live for our filming, interact with us, and bring your Q&A. That is found at switchcast.com/Patreon.
Try patreon.com/switchcast.
I will never get that right. patreon.com/switchcast.
Switchcast. patreon.com/switchcast.
I need but to just I add a redirect at this point I, to you, send it to
you
Patreon.
Do. You absolutely need a switchcast.com/Patreon.
Lots of get people are like, I'm getting a 404 trying to give you guys money.
Doug, come on, man. Get it together.
You got to. And like switchcars.com/switchcast-patreon, like the whole thing, all the links. Anyway, just go there. You know how to do it, even if I don't know how to tell you how to get there. This news story in from myfox8.com. $1.5 million in luxury cars seized in North Carolina street racing takedown.
Whoa.
Yeah. I can hear the critics already saying that that headline should be something more like $1.5 million in vehicles stolen by a government heist. Regardless of your position on, I don't know, is this would not necessarily be civil asset forfeiture because they are actually committing a crime when they arrest them. So I think it'd be a little bit different, but I still am not sure if that merits that the local government owns these vehicles. But let's get back to the story. Charlotte, North Carolina, more than 40 officers and the North Carolina State Highway Patrol teamed up to seize five high-end cars worth over $1.5 million and arrest five people in connection with illegal street racing. In June, they teamed up with the South Carolina Highway Patrol in an operation to take on illegal street racing across the Queen City. They identified multiple vehicles, and by the end of the night, they had seized a 2023 Lamborghini Huracan, a 23 R8, another Huracan, a 2021 Ford Mustang, and a 2017 BMW 340 XI. That must have been the camera car.
I was going to say, that things really just fell off a cliff there.
It was probably a GT500 or something like that, I would think. This baffled me a little bit. According to CMPD, three of these vehicles are tied to national groups known for illegal street racing activity. I thought street racing was kind of like Fight Club.
Yeah, you just don't tell anybody about it.
Right. But I did a little Googling.
Wonder which one of these Dom Toretto's in.
Apparently, there's a National Street Racing Association.
Do they have like a website?
A Facebook page.
What?
Then there is this Brotherhood of Street Racers International. The page description is the Brotherhood of Street Racers as a way to channel the energy of South Central youth away from crime and violence, peace through racing. Although,
but if you're
back to a different crime, I guess.
But street racing is inherently not peaceful.
All right. Here's a hot. I don't have a hot take on this. I'm wondering what your hot take is. Street racing, and I'm not talking about like Fast and Furious style weaving in and out of traffic, stuff like that. I'm talking about middle of the night, open highways, open roads where they're doing passes. There's nobody around. Is it illegal? Yes. Should it be condoned? I don't know. Should it be in the same category as street takeovers, right? Every car guy on the planet wants to shut down street takeovers, and rightly so. Although, sidebar, most of the cars there are stolen, so people are intentionally being destructive. But you look at the history of street racing, go back to Woodward Avenue, go back to the muscle cars drag racing on empty roads. If that is what street racing is, should there be this giant seizure, takedown, government operation to shut it down? Is it really dangerous? Should it end up in luxury cars being seized and owned by the government?
I would prefer they take that energy to stop the takeovers myself.
But what's the difference? Pretend you're Karen and all of this, the person just speeding outside your driveway at 10 over with a loud exhaust, and cannonballers and street racers and street takeovers are just all in the same sin bin.
Sin bin. I don't really know.
Tell me why it's different.
As far as a Karen's perspective, I have no idea. But I think for me, the difference lies in the fact that street takeovers impact people. You doing all right? You don't have to finish it, Doug. Hey, he's struggling with his whiskey over there. It's not our jam.
Not endorsing this whiskey. Anyway.
I think the street takeovers inherently impact the public who didn't ask to be there. And I think I have always thought that when I am having a spirited drive, which even then my stuff is extremely docile compared to a lot of other people, even that I know, if I am by myself and I'm only impacting myself, I have a little bit, I take responsibility for that and say, well, you know, if something happens, it's my fault.
But so you should be able to not wear your seatbelt. By that logic, seatbelt laws should be banned unless there are other people in the car with you.
I mean, if people really want to be that stupid, I mean,
you said if you're by yourself and you're only impacting yourself.
Well, I think for me, that's the difference.
Okay. Good libertarian argument here.
Well, I mean, like if somebody doesn't ask to be there and like you impact them by speeding and making crazy maneuvers to cause an accident, like that is the common, or it's not for the common good. It's very negative.
So street racing is okay. Cannonballing and street takeovers are bad.
Only, see, Doug's trying to box me into a corner here.
I'm just following your logic and finding the holes in it.
Well, and so that's where it gets a little weird, because all of, like, cannonball, I'm like, well, the folks that I, and from what I've heard, are fairly safe. Nobody's been in a crash yet that I know of, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So there's like some precedent there, and there is care taken when folks are passing normal traffic and whatnot. So there's consideration. And maybe that's the other thing, is there's no consideration in a street takeover. It's just to cause destruction and be violent and whatever.
Are all of them like that? Or is that just what we're seeing on social media? Because those are ones that go viral. Are those the bad apples of street takeovers?
I would find it. I know you're probably getting me into some logical who's and what's it now.
No, I'm just asking.
I cannot believe it, that it's in the name. A street takeover cannot be like a kind and like cool and whatever. It's all just destructive and antisocial behavior.
I guess. I mean, I've done a donut in an intersection and I'm not a criminal. And it wasn't dangerous, and I don't know. It's kind of fun to do a donut.
Well, I'm
in
sure
an intersection.
It's fun. Yeah, but you're not in a stolen BMW diesel, like hitting people with the stern end of your car.
True, true. Well, regardless of our feelings on this, there's definitely some there's two sides to this coin here, or a little bit of hypocrisy, because shortly after this article, within a few days, there was another article from The Drive. A sheriff allegedly caught street racing in a Lamborghini.
Nice.
After claiming zero tolerance for street racing.
Nice.
Lee County Sheriff Carmine, it's a good color, Carmine Marcino was the one behind the wheel of a speeding Huracan Spider in a video posted online. And earlier that month, he had issued a press release. Now, this is Florida. This is not North Carolina. But I thought it was funny that they were both Lamborghinis. He issued a press release saying he has, quote, zero tolerance for street racing after catching an 18-year-old in the act. And, of course, the news outlets are saying, well, gee, that is a lot of hypocrisy. The clip online is 9 seconds long, and it was filmed by somebody cruising next to the sheriff and in a Corvette, and he called out the Lambo driver, the sheriff, with some expletives, asking him to juice it, and the sheriff street raced. Yeah. The facts here are, I guess the Corvette went 74 miles an hour without catching the Lambo. The Lambo pulled away, and the speed limit on that stretch of road is 50 miles an hour. Here's my issue with this one, right? Obviously, the optics are not good, and these two articles in conjunction are pretty hilarious, and I think they illustrate what a lot of our frustration is with law enforcement. It's not the enforcement of the law. It's the double standard. We get a ticket for texting and driving, but you guys are on your laptops while driving. And the Ohio Highway Code actually allows for that. I was reading it. I was in the state police station the other day, and I'm reading all the laws about it, what's excusable. And there's a specific exemption for police, law enforcement, first responders using their computers or using their equipment in the act of, like, doing their business. And I'm like, man, if it's not safe, it's not safe.
Yeah.
The other concern, of course, is the seizure of assets for crime instead of just punishing the person. It's like, well, the government shouldn't financially benefit from this type of crime. I 100% agree with that. However, when watching this street racing, quote unquote, video of this sheriff, it's really not street racing. It's a one gear pull. Like, they're next to each other and he just goes, wah, and then lets off.
Yeah.
So for this to be used against him as some aha gotcha thing is pretty frustrating for him, I think. And it's not a fair look.
Yeah. I like it for the juxtaposition of kind of showing some of our problems, but this is really a bit of a, yuck. Doug, you don't have
Why
to keep
do I
drinking
keep
the whiskey.
Testing that whiskey. It's,
I don't think you're like testing it anymore. I think you're just drinking it at this point.
Yes, but I think that circling back, if he was in a cop car and a Mustang went by doing that same thing, single gear pull next to somebody else filming, you're street racing.
Oh, yeah.
Whoop, whoop.
He'd light him up.
Let's put you in cuffs because you're quote unquote street racing. Because if that's how the cop interprets it, that's what it is until you prove yourself innocent in a court of law. So that's the problem with traffic tickets and traffic violations. Guilty until proven innocent, as opposed to vice versa. So, not a good look by the sheriff there. Our shrewd negotiator segment, which is, well, people trying really hard to get the best deal, whether they're buying or selling. This one's a personal anecdote from our dealership, and it was a Corvette. It wasn't a Corvette curmudgeon, but this is a very Hank type of negotiation. We had a Corvette C5, very nice one. And a buyer brought in a check that was already made out for the out-the-door price that he wanted to pay.
That's a bold move.
And he said it was his only check.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he wasn't making out another one.
All right.
So do I believe him? No. That's the equivalent of having, like, I've only got 13 grand cash in my pocket, in my right pocket, and I've got 2 grand more in the other pocket in case you don't take 13. However, the tactic worked.
Oh, did you just roll over and take this money?
We just rolled over. But it only worked because it was a number we were willing to accept anyway. So it wasn't the tactic. Oh. It was the offer himself. But we'll let him think he was brilliant and we'll thank him for the business because we are happy for the business. So as my brother-in-law says about golf, it's not how, it's how many. In this case, it's dollars, not strokes. But and well, strokes would be if he didn't buy a car.
Yeah. Hank would be proud.
Hey, Hank would be very proud. Although if I think if... If Hank made an offer and the dealer accepted on the first go, he'd be like, yes, too much. That was too easy. We got to fight more. Go talk to your manager. Soul and Spine wants everyone to have a higher quality of life. They specialize in non-surgical options for those who have been told that they need injections or surgery. They offer state-of-the-art techniques that help over 90% of patients become pain-free in just weeks. Starting with thorough medical history and comprehensive examination, you'll work one-on-one with Dr. Hoover to meet all your treatment goals. Their mission is to unleash your body's own healing potential to avoid drugs and surgery. Visit SolonSpine.com to learn more, located in Solon, Ohio. I got a notice in the mail the other day from the Oklahoma Turnpike Authority.
Now, you go through Oklahoma very often, Doug. That seems to make sense.
On a right? cannonball, maybe. I thought maybe they caught me from like 7 years ago, but I did have a pike pass at the time.
Okay.
And it said that I owed a whopping $44. Now, we've all gotten the text message scams from any number of people claiming yes. we owe money or we have money. They're giving us money. We've inherited money, whatever. But like, even today, I think I got a text message scam from something like a toll or something like that. This was not one of them. This was an actual thing in the mail with their letterhead. And it had our company name and a plate number for a vehicle, a 2007 Porsche Cayman. And I thought, okay, that's our car. But it was a California plate on the car. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. I don't know how they got from a California plate on a car to us. But nonetheless, check the VIN. Yes, we own this car. I thought, okay, what happened? So I checked to see if one of my guys had like driven the car back from the customer. Occasionally we do that. Usually it's on a dealer tag. Every now and then we forget our Easy Pass. Nope, wasn't that. So I figured out that that car was on a transport truck that day en route to us. Okay. And I'm like, oh man, I got these guys. Cause I've heard stories and I've had it happen before where we book with a shipper and they'll take one of the cars out and joyride it, take it out to dinner date, burnouts, street racing, whatever. And I'm like, we almost only use enclosed carriers. So I'm like, this is the only solution. And I was about to like call this transporter up and give him a piece of my mind. I had them nailed dead to rights.
Got him.
Not quite though.
Oh,
this is why having all the facts are important before making accusation, a lesson that all podcasters and journalists, ourselves included, need to be reminded of every once in a while. It was one of the few times that we shipped with an open carrier, but the company, when I looked it up in our books, it's the same one that has enclosed carriers.
Oh.
So the car was on the back of the trailer with the plate on it, and they went through the toll, I guess, without a toll pass, and it took the plate off of the car on the back and then sent us a notice for the whole truck.
So I was just about to ask, how does this not happen a bunch? But I would think that the majority of open carriers will be unplated, right? Not the truck.
The cars.
The cars will
they
be unplated.
They should be, yes.
Yeah.
There is definitely a few lessons to be learned here for everybody. This is not just an anecdote. There are some very important things to learn to avoid not just toll tickets, and we'll get to that. So I called up Oklahoma. Because I didn't get a photo. Like, you get a ticket in the mail from the camera things. They have a photo of you going, oh.
Yeah.
There's no photos. I'm like, what the heck? I said, well, they can view them online. Unfortunately, when I talked to the lady, I called her up. Oklahoma was awesome. I was on hold for like 30 seconds.
Oh,
and
nice.
In less than 2 minutes, she had canceled the ticket.
Whoa.
She goes, well, what's going on here? I said, well, I know, but I'm not sure you guys do. Do you have photos of this ticket? Oh, yeah, yeah, we have them here. So I'll just wait for you to look at the photo. I pause and she goes, oh, okay, ticket's zeroed out.
Perfect.
But then I wanted to download the pictures of the car on the transporter for posterity and podcasting, and they were gone because she had canceled the invoice. But anyway, the system takes an automated photo of the plate, because then I'm like, how did you get our information? So they went to California to inquire who the owner was. California said the owner is Switch Cars. I'm like, okay, I know why that happened. There's a tab on vehicle titles when you go to sell them that you're supposed to detach that tab and either file online or report it, mail it into the state and say, I sold the car. This is the new owner of the car.
Okay.
So you're releasing your legal interest and your liability for that car such that if something happens like a toll ticket, it doesn't come back to you.
Okay.
So nobody ever does that. So we get all these titles with the tabs. We put our information in, we send them in, we file them on behalf of the customer as a courtesy. So our title clerk was doing such a good job that then the ticket came back to us instead of the previous owner.
Oh, so this wasn't even like the previous owner sent it in. You guys had just sent it in fast enough.
We had sent it in fast enough that this is how it happened. But the funny thing is their system doesn't account. And she admitted this, the lady at Oklahoma Turnpike. They don't account for vehicles towed on trailers. So it decoded the plate to the VIN and decoded the VIN to a Porsche Cayman. On my notice, it said Porsche Cayman, but it also said vehicle toll large, which a large is a 5 to 6 axle vehicle.
Look, last time I checked, unless the Cayman's pretty sweet, it's not 5 or 6 axles. There's no, two.
It's definitely not large. The 992 911 is large. But,
yeah.
So I'm like, that's a pretty big glitch. That all this AI stuff, and they can't throw up a flag to go, wait a minute, it's a Porsche Cayman, but it's saying it's large. That can't be the case. So they admitted that the system doesn't account for vehicles towed on trailers. So if any of you have RVs and you're towing trailers and stuff like that, you have a car with a plate on it, one, just take the plate off when you're towing. But two, be aware that you could be getting double charged or overcharged for tolls.
Can you leave like a Google review for the Oklahoma Turnpike folks? That's amazing. I don't think I've ever had any interaction that's been that smooth when calling to get something reversed or corrected.
You are correct. We tried to fix an Ohio one because I was stuck. Somebody had like not had their Easy Pass. And so I'm just stuck sitting there waiting in the Easy Pass lane. It was right at where the reader is. Oh. So it thought I was like a 37 axle vehicle because I was just parked right there and it kept reading it. And it took... I don't know, 6, 8, 9 months to get it resolved because it was on the border with Indiana and they had to communicate with Indiana and multiple hours of phone calls. It was terrible. The lessons here, though, there are a few very important lessons, as minor as this may seem, $44. The things that you should not do, because the principle is that I had liability for this plate. The customer could have had liability because they did not report the sale to the state of California. So if we had not reported it, done our job as the buyer, which a lot of buyers don't do, they would have gotten the ticket. They could have also gotten a lot of other things. For example, with boats, somebody sold a boat once and the buyer never registered that they were the owner of it. So it was still on the seller's registration. And the seller, years later, got a call saying, this is the Coast Guard. We found your boat somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean. Come and get it. Your tow bill is like, you know, $37,000 or something ridiculous like that.
Whoa.
I got a call once for an abandoned vehicle in California. I sold a salvage title car to a person, and they just wanted the engine, so they never titled it. They never registered it. So I was still the owner on record. So I was getting bills for this abandoned vehicle in California, even though a homeless guy was paying the state of California rent to live in it. You should also, so you should never sign an open title ever. Because anybody could do anything. They could put a price in. They could put somebody else's name in. They could make up some transaction that you are liable for because you signed it as the seller and you have no idea what the person is going to do. They could sit on it for years. I've seen all of these things happen. Sit on it for years and sell it to a dealer. The dealer reassigns it. And 5 years later, you still have an active title in your name. You are possibly liable for this car.
So what do you mean by an open title?
An open title is when you sign it as a seller, but you don't fill in the buyer information.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. I've even seen notaries like sign off like, oh, yeah, yeah, it's signed and notarized, but no buyer information.
Oof.
Not technically not supposed to do that as a notary, but for $1.50, they'll do anything. never let the buyer drive a car home on your plates. So sad, too bad if they didn't have time to go get a temp tag or scared that it'll be illegal or whatever. Like, so what?
Yeah.
Like, you just don't want that headache.
Also, don't take a tag off of one of your cars and put it on the car you just bought to drive it home. That will get you in as much or more trouble.
Correct. It's better to not have a plate and just have a bill of sale. I'm not saying this is legal advice. I'm saying this is practical advice. You get pulled over for no plate and you say, officer, here's the documentation that says I legally own this car. This was the best way I knew how. You may get a ticket, probably will, doubtfully will get towed. But if you have a fictitious plate, which is a plate that goes on another vehicle, absolutely you're probably going to get towed.
Yes.
It's very, very hard to explain that one. You're starting from a position of I am trying to deceive.
Yes.
Not a good start. So never let the buyer drive it home on your plates because they might keep your plates on for months, years, who knows? Who knows? Could get all sorts of tickets through the cameras with your plates. Not a good idea. And again, what I mentioned earlier, you should not neglect to report the sale to your state if they have that detachable tab where they require you to report it. I've had customers whose insurance was canceled. Totally, not just on that car. Like their insurance was canceled. No. I'm sorry. Their registration. Nope. Still wrong. Their license was suspended. Their driver's license was threatened to be suspended because they did not report the sale of the vehicle to their state. So the state said, oh, you own this car, but you don't have insurance on it. That's illegal. We're going to suspend your driver's license.
Oh,
all because they didn't fill out a little tab to say I sold this car.
Wow.
Yes.
Ohio doesn't have that tab, do they?
No, they do not. All right. Because Ohio requires you to put the title in the next buyer's name if you're a dealer, and they require you to fill out the title completely if you're a private seller.
Gotcha.
And you can't just like sit on a title. You have to title it and pay tax on it. So, I mean, people still leave open titles, but you're really not supposed to do that. The penalties are stiff in Ohio too. It's a $5 late fee. Years and years could go by. It's still a $5 late fee.
Is it like a library where they're like, yeah, that's $2. I owed this back 6 years ago.
Pretty much. So what you should do, the practical stuff, sign off the title. If there's a notary spot, notarize it. Fill in the buyer information completely. Take copies of all of this. So if the buyer loses the title or loses a bill of sale, you have everything proving. If something comes up where you get a tow bill or a repo bill or something like that, you can say, listen, here's a copy of the signed notarized title. Here's the buyer information. I do not own the car anymore. It is off your hands. So basically, you need to have the documentation ready to prove to anybody for years that you no longer own the vehicle, period. Doesn't matter who you sell the car to, friend, uncle, whatever. Sometimes they're the worst.
Well, yeah, people let their guard down when it's family, but that's the situation that most likely things could get weird, and then you have to deal with unfortunate family things.
Oh, yeah. I had a friend of mine bought a Corvette from the brother or son or something of a guy who died. It was a son, and he had a power of attorney, but the power of attorney was no longer valid because the owner had died, And he tried to sign it as power of attorney, like when he was still alive, but he signed it incorrectly. He like basically forged the owner's signature instead of signing the POA's signature as POA for the owner. So that was all screwed up. And like the guy had died and like nobody, it was just this open title signed incorrectly. And it was all in the family, and it was just a mess. So yeah, don't just do everything correctly. Oh man. The props and flops brought to you by Switch Cars.
Switch Cars is the enthusiast dealership where we buy, sell, and consign only cars that we like ourselves. Be sure to check out our handpicked inventory at switchcars.com and mention Switchcast for special pricing. Find more information at switchcars.com or come visit our showroom in beautiful Twinsburg, Ohio. So, Doug, what is the pick of the week?
It has to be the car that got us this ticket. Hey. It is a 2000 Porsche Cayman. It is not six axles. Guards red over black, five-speed manual, 46,000 miles. And if you miss that one by the time you hear this episode, well, we bought another red 2007 Cayman.
Nice.
Five-speed manual. They're just growing on trees. So either way, we've got you covered if you want a Guards Red 07 Cayman manual. All right. Our prop of the week, because I have to end on this flop. It's going to be so good. This is not new. This is actually, I believe, the 26th annual, longer. One-of-a-kind race for a great cause. This is at Autodrome Granby. It is the DeFi Vision Race, and it gives blind men and women the opportunity to drive on a racetrack with a guide providing directions from the passenger seat.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
It is a straight-out demolition derby. I don't know how they get insurance for this because they're driving into the walls at, like, full speed. It doesn't look like any of these cars have roll cages.
Oh my God. And a lot of them still have glass. Holy moly.
Well, yes, you have to have front glass. So it protects you from debris coming in. Gotcha. So like any, super stock, whatever, like the race cars, the local racetracks, it's always side glass. You remove, front glass has to stay, but goodness gracious. Looks like some of these passengers are blind the way they're driving. It's so bad.
This one guy like ran into the wall and then up on it.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It is awesome. I love this. I love that they're doing this, and it is entertaining for all to watch. Our flop of the week. Is a tip from John Sabo, regular contributor to the podcast. The new Porsche Parade poster, the poster for the Porsche Parade, which is the annual mecca for Porsche people. They have judged classes, the best of the best of the vintage cars and modern cars come out. It is a destination event. That's what mecca means. I don't know why I even said that. The poster for the 2026 Porsche Parade. Do you know what kind of car is featured on this?
Doug, I do. It is not only a Macan. It is the new Macan EV.
Mm-hmm. The Porsche Club of America has absolutely and positively lost its way.
Yes, and as of filming, we have not yet gone to the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix, but we will be there soon, where I have paid the $1 million to be a part of the Porsche parking corral situation and get a pulled pork sandwich for lunch.
Literally less to be the Lamborghini Club and have a air-conditioned sit-down catered lunch.
I like the parking. It's what I got access to. It's fine, but it was $150 to park on a golf course and eat a pulled pork sandwich for lunch, but whatever. I am curious to see how many Macans and Cayennes we will see parked in the field. In the past, I have seen droves of 928s and beautiful 993s and 964s and G, like all this stuff. But like slowly, I've seen a couple of pretty sweet Panamera Sport Turismos. But I guarantee you this year, the Porsche Club stuff just feels different now.
I don't know if it's a local club or something, but I've seen this tagline in some of their advertisement. It's not about the cars. It's about the people.
Oh, they were preempting this.
Darn right. Maybe it should be about the cars again, because Macan EV, like, it's an appliance. Come on, we're not, let's not celebrate that. It is an appliance. I am fine with Porsche being a luxury brand. I don't care. But there shouldn't be a club centered around it. And honestly, if your car is less than 5 years old anyway, you shouldn't be allowed into a Concours. It's just, if you want to do it, fine. But why? Why are you taking your EV appliance to go get judged to be like, oh, that's a 100-point car? No kidding. I just drove it from the showroom. Like, whoop-de-frickin-do. They're not special anymore. I'm the Porsche pedant here. I am curmudgeoning. I am gatekeeping, whatever. But I'm sorry. Porsche Club of America has lost it with this one.
The Sheffield brand was recently revived by Jake Turkbus, an owner of an original Sheffield All-Sport Diver he received from his parents in 1970 when he was just 11, beginning his love of watches. As an adult, Jay used his extensive expertise in product development and marketing to revive the brand that started it all. He set out to develop watches with a high level of quality and specification at a value price. His first effort, and a successful one, on July of 2023, was the debut of the Sheffield All-Sport Diver 1. It had the kind of build and movement that much more expensive watches use, and his debut price of $108 was equivalent to the $13 his parents paid in 1970. Since that debut, Sheffield has expanded to a wider range of automatics and chronos, many designed around vintage Sheffield dials of the 60s. The Sheffield well of clever and unique design remains his inspiration, as well as maintaining the goal of high quality, very affordable range of automatic and quartz watches. Sheffield watches, value on merit, not just price. I love mine, so get yours at sheffieldwatches.com and be sure to mention you found them on Switchcast.
Thank you for joining us for Switchcast with Doug Tabbitt and Tyler Sanders, produced by Ethan Huffnagel. Switchcast is an automotive entertainment and opinion show, and nothing we say should be taken very seriously. We do not give tax, investment, legal, emotional, or professional advice, and the only licenses we hold are driver's licenses. The opinions expressed on this show are exclusively held by the people pontificating at that moment and do not reflect the values of our producers or sponsors. Our theme music is provided by Emily and Ivory. You can stream their full album on Spotify or SoundCloud. If you like this show, you can stream it in its entirety on your favorite audio podcast platform. Check out switchcast.live for more info.